Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Hello, Michael. Are you there? Well, I'm not sure if Michael is here or not. I think I want to welcome everybody to the show, so let's just go ahead and start. Hopefully, we'll get Michael on in a minute. Today's show is really exciting, and it's an incredible topic for me, overcoming tragedy, and here he is back. Thank you, Michael.
Hello, everyone.
Yes.
You did a great job. You know, this is always the fun thing with technology. We had an issue last week, too. I don't know what we've never had issues before. And the last 2 weeks, it's been an adventure, but adventures are good. And that's what we're talking about today is the adventure of life. And I'm really excited for this topic. And it was funny, too, because I know Maria does not really enjoy doing intros. And it was funny when my call got dropped out of the system and she had to take over. So that was always a little adventure for you.
Talk about a quick hot flash there. Woo!
Well, for those of you who don't know, we like to start the show off with the quote of the day, and you can find this always on my Facebook page. Every day I have a quote of the day, and this week's for this show is, life is good, even though all our dark moments are days of trepidation. Each second we have an opportunity to breathe the breath of life. It's truly a miracle we should all find gratitude to thank our Creator for, no matter the external circumstances and situations in our lives. And really that's the truth with this topic today, because that's what we're talking about right now. People who are have gone through really difficult things in their lives, and I'm really, really excited to share these stories with our guests. Maria, before we jump into our first guest, do you have anything else that you would like to say that I missed in the beginning?
Actually, this, like I was starting to say, this show is really important to me on a number of reasons. My focus is really primarily on the overcoming of the tragedy and not so much the drama of the tragedy. We all know, if you're a human walking the face of the earth, that pain is pain. And it doesn't matter what degree of pain it is, it still hurts. So I really want to make sure that we're focusing on the overcoming and the triumph and the victory and how great it is on this side of it. The other thing that I just really want to touch base too on is my love and my heart, my soul for these women and our connection to the country of Greece. And my trip is coming up and we're going to promote it, and my heart and soul is all about it. And so this show is really, really important because we have a lot of people in Greece that are listening, and how exciting is that, that we're going international, Michael?
Oh, definitely. I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited for your trip, because I know it's going to be a good one and one that you are really, really looking forward to. And not only that, I want to just remind everyone, especially for our new listeners, this is Anything But Ordinary Radio, and you can hear us every week, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. If you miss our live show, our archives are available for you to listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can visit those archives, listen to any of our past shows. And also what's great, a little player that's there in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see. You can click either share it with a friend. You're welcome to email our shows out to different people that you think it might touch. But also you can click on the iTunes link. So if you use iTunes and would like the podcast version, you can You can click on that, and what's great is you will begin receiving this automatically after the show every week. I know a lot of people I've talked to listen to our archives. They go out running, do different things, and they listen to us. And I'm really thankful again to all of our audience, everybody who listens in and tunes in and has been supportive of this show up until now. And with that, I'd like to get on to our first guest. And our first guest is Joanna Zipa, and she is really an amazing woman. She is a writer, a columnist for NEO Magazine. And a little brief bit about her background, her bio, is actually she was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, from hardworking Greek immigrant parents. What happened was that she met her ex-husband at a cousin's wedding in 97, and in the eyes of the general public, he seemed like a perfect gentleman, and this was just really a relationship that was meant to be. They moved to Greece together after being married to really escape this rat race of our North American lifestyle, and she quickly found out the hard way that they moved there for entirely the wrong reasons. And instead of living the dreams of her parents of being an immigrant and returning to their homeland, she really found out that it turned out to be a hell in paradise with everything that went on. And so when her marriage finally dissolved, it was for her own good, and according to her ex, he claimed he was afraid of ending up in jail and her ending up 6 feet under, if you can imagine that statement. So thankfully, she did get out of that marriage, and what happened later is she sought help from local agencies to help women coming out of abusive relationships. She learned about computer and web design. She started researching where she should go, and she ended up in Southern California, of all places, and now is writing for NEO Magazine and doing a lot of different things. And so with that, I'm really excited to bring on our first guest, Joanna Zipa. Joanna, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. What a wonderful introduction. I'm flattered and flabbergasted.
Well, just to let everyone know, too, real quickly before I turn it over to Maria, because really the show, I really want to, this is a topic that's really near and dear to Maria's heart. And so I will be sharing and asking questions, but really she's going to kind of run the show. What we're going to do is we're going to have Joanna on, do a little introduction about her so everybody gets a chance to meet her. Then we're going to have on Anastasia Mason will be on next. We will do a little introduction and same thing, talk to her. And then Elena Bugardi will be on later, and then we're going to kind of have a panel discussion where everybody gets a chance to share some of their thoughts on this topic. So with that, I just wanted to introduce her. Maria, sorry for cutting you off. I will turn it back to you.
That's okay. Yes, how are you, Joanna?
Very good. Yes, Maria, Tikanis, how are you?
Kala. Hey, I gotta work. You gotta help me work on my Greek before I leave. So I'm really appreciating you help me that. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Had a wonderful
good.
Fourth of July weekend. How was your Fourth of July weekend?
You know, I ended up staying home with my golden retriever, and she's happy that I did so. So it all worked out well. I wanted to get on to a couple of the questions of the topic of the day. And one of the questions that I had, first, I know that Michael spoke about your situation, but can you tell us a little bit about what you went through and what you experienced with your ex-husband and the process of how you finally got out of it?
Right. Okay. Well, to make a long story short, like he mentioned, when I first met him, he put on the charming mask to the general public. In the eyes of the community, he was the perfect gentleman, always had the right thing to say. He was very articulate, seemed very strong and forward-thinking. Ha! and also seemed like a go-getter. But what his true intentions were to find a scapegoat, a slave that he can boss around, and because his favorite expression was "do as I say, not as I do," or "it's my way or the highway." That was one of his expressions he kept telling me throughout the marriage. And what I went through was kind of a downhill slope. being educated, being university educated with a degree in biology and a little minor in psychology, I should have known better, but it happens to the best of us. It can happen to any woman. When you fall in love with somebody who charms you off your feet and promises you the world, that, oh, I'm in the process of moving to Greece to get away from this rat race of work, you know, why don't you come with me? I said, sure. I always wanted to live in a beautiful, warm Mediterranean type of climate. And I said, sure, why not? I'm open for anything. I'm a spontaneous person by nature. Plus, I also was looking and pursuing the dream of finding happiness with somebody that was a forward thinker, somebody that was not afraid to take risks and start in a new country. So we did this together. We moved from Canada to Greece. Now, even though it was our parents' homeland, it was still an experience, a challenge to us, because we had to start from scratch. He had to serve in the army and the mandatory requirements. Mind you, it was only 6 months, but still, it was a sacrifice. He had to look for work. Being in his mid-30s, hardly nobody would take him. Unfortunately, there is a certain age limit where you think discrimination happens over here. Wait till you get to Greece when looking for work. You not only have to have your military papers taken care of, you also have to be at a ripe enough age to be able to contribute to the company that you're applying to. So he looked into investing over there. The problem that we faced was that when we went to Greece, we had other responsibilities that I did not foresee immediately. Not only were we living and under the financial care of his parents, all in one basket, so to speak, his parents, we were also running away from responsibilities that he had in Canada, and that is from paternal obligations to an ex-wife and child.
I was going to ask you quite, how long was it from the time you got to Greece to the time you actually left?
It was about a year and a half, because it wasn't until 6 months after the wedding that we actually did our move to Greece. And a year and a half later, we came back to Canada, and that's when we went our separate ways. The funny thing is,
Go ahead.
The funny thing is, our problems started the day before the wedding. Something odd happened that not only raised my brows and raised everybody's brows around us, is what's going on here. While we were getting ready bring our buboneras, our gifts, to the hall and the actual ceremonies, decorating the hall. Because both of us came from humble beginnings, we did everything that we can to prepare everything on our own. But in the transition of decorating the hall, one thing that stuck in my mind was when his father came running into the room, jumping for joy, saying, guess what, your ex-mother-in-law has passed away. And for someone to be happy for somebody else's death, I don't care what they've done to you, that's just horrible. Apparently he had a vendetta against her, or some bad blood happened between his ex-wife and himself and the whole family, which I didn't really care to get involved in or find out too much details about, because by the time I met him 7 years later after his first divorce, he had already rebuilt his life. He had already had proven to himself, proven to the community, that his prior divorce had basically had it was not at his fault that
okay.
His ex-wife left him. But the point of the matter is, his ex-wife left him with a child, put a restraining order against him that didn't allow him to see the child for those first 7 years. So when I met him, he had not been in that child's life, which was sad. When he asked me, one more thing is that he did ask me that one day, I'm sure, that child will seek me out, probably by the time she's 18 years old, when she's legally able to on her own. When that time comes, will you be there for me? Will you stand by my side? And I said, of course, by all means. And I also figured by that time we'd have our own family. We'd be rooted, well-stabilized, and I will embrace his child from his first marriage as if she was my own. So the day that his ex-mother-in-law died was basically the knot that was untied that allowed the communication to come back into his life between his ex-wife and child and himself. And that happened.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And that happened just around our marriage time. After the funeral proceedings, basically what happened was his ex-wife decided that now that her mother was out of the way, she can contact my husband and make amends.
Well, the question that I have for you, Joanna, the question that
mm-hmm.
I have for you is, okay, when
mm-hmm.
the red flags went up, okay,
mm-hmm.
and you knew before the marriage, what made you continue to move forward with it when you already knew that there were red flags, especially being an educated woman, okay? What was
right.
your driving force to not stop and choose a different path at that time?
Embarrassment, shame. I felt that I already made my bed, I got to lay in it and make the most of it, that I felt that I was strong enough to deal with it. I felt that I could make the most of it and make it work. That's what it was. I saw it as a huge challenge, but I thought that love would conquer all.
Okay, exactly.
I thought that we would work it all.
Yeah. I mean, usually learn that the hard way, but that doesn't work. So since then, and you've been working with women, okay, after you left and you moved forward, what was the main thing that you learned out of all that experience?
Well, since then, leaving Canada, moving to Greece, and then leaving the marriage completely, you mean? Or during the marriage?
Yeah. Now that you're here in the United States and your life is different and you now speak out about this, and what is your driving force now?
My driving force now is not to have any other woman fall into the trap of just because she's listening to her elders and respecting people around her and putting other people's needs in front of hers, like good little Greek girls usually do, especially those of us who've been raised by immigrant parents here in North America who've
mm-hmm.
left Greece for the most part post-World War II, right up until the mid-70s. But that Generation X, those of us who've been raised here with the mentality that the traditions of the family unit being together, eating together, praying together, working together for a common good, that, yes, it's okay to listen to your heart and pursue your own dreams. Just because other people tell you that this person would be a good provider, this person will be good for you. Listen to your elders. He may be older than you. He knows what he's doing. He was only 5 years older than me. There's not much more that he could possibly know than me. So
right.
I went along with that jargon, and I figured, okay, I'm in his hands, and he'll lead the way. If I do as he says, then maybe he will respect me back in return.
And we learn the hard way that that doesn't normally happen.
Right.
My question for you now, you made a point. What are your dreams now?
My dreams now are to help women follow their dreams and their hearts. Within the Greek community, through the Neo magazine that I'm involved in, I write about inspirational stories, movers and shakers here on the West Coast who've done something for themselves and have inspired many younger people to go out and pursue their dreams and to think out of the box, to do things that have never been done. And so what my writings allow me to do is to bring that out into the open, because we don't hear about them. We only hear about our immediate family and our immediate role models, but the times have changed, the generations are changing, and our way of thinking is changing. But unfortunately, in that very tight family unit that we so proudly boast that we are a very tight-knit community, unfortunately, sometimes it closes the directions of thinking outside the box, basically.
Well, Joanna, I really want to, you know, thank you for sharing that story. I mean, I know a lot of women have gone through similar things, particularly in various ethnic communities, because they are so close, and there's just a lot of that going on. You know, family units are so close. It's not so much, I think, as the North American ideal nowadays, where it seems to be, you know, everybody does what they want. They fall in love with they want, who they want, and they get married with who they want. But in those tight-knit communities, it's really, you know, there's a lot of pressures, not only from families, but from friends. And so thank you for sharing that story. And what I'm going to do now is really quickly put you on hold for just a little bit, because I want to bring on our second guest. And our second guest is Miss Anastasia Mason, and she has just an amazing story as well. She's the CEO of Cosmos International Pageants. She is also a four international ambassador for ending domestic sexual abuse. She's a domestic sexual assault overcomer and speaks on behalf of others like herself worldwide. She believes that placement must go hand in hand with behavioral modification to break the vicious cycle of violence. And she's also a real trooper. Anastasia had some things go on in her personal life, but she was here with us today no matter what, and I really, really appreciate that. Welcome to the show, Anastasia.
Hi, thank you.
Hello, girl. How are you?
Glad to be a part of it, to be honest.
Well, would you like to share where you are right now, or do you want to keep that to yourself?
Yeah, we can share that. I'm in the hospital dealing with baby issues. I'm having a baby. And with that came a few kidney issues, so we had to kind of nip that in the bottom so that we wouldn't have the baby early. So I've been here for the last week.
she's been in and out of the hospital, in surgery yesterday, and that baby is resting quietly now, Michael, but can you believe that she's here today?
Oh, I'm amazed. That's why I said she's a trooper. I when you told me the situation, I was a little shocked and surprised that she was on the show, but I think it really speaks to her character.
The nurse thinks I'm a little insane.
The medication probably is helping a little bit, too.
Yeah, probably.
It's not so bad. How are you, my dear?
Today is a much better day than yesterday. Very
good.
Very good.
Good. Everything is moving forward with all of our trip and the Greek trip and things that are happening there. And I wanted to thank you for being on the show so we could promote that and everything that we're doing under Cosmos. And would you like to share? Yeah, why don't you share a little bit about what Cosmos International Pageants is and why this is so important to you and why it's become your dream?
Well, Cosmos Pageants, to me, is so much more than the word pageant. And being involved with so many different types of women and having a daughter of my own and not wanting to teach her some of the bad things about the beauty industry, I felt that working in the pageant industry would be good if we had something that really focused on the woman, not the crown and banner, but what she can do with the position. You know, kind of the standpoint of nobility is based on action and birth, not a crown, banner, or title. And with that, really started working into my dream, being able to promote education, community service, cultural awareness, you know, things that I feel a lot of, you know, and beauty. I have no qualms saying that we are a beauty pageant, but just teaching women that it's okay to be all of those things, that they don't have to cower in society to be who God intended them to be.
Okay.
And so we feel that, I feel that the pageant is my passion because I can help other women grow in that way.
And your reason for wanting to help. I know that Michael touched base a little bit on who you are, but I want you to share a little bit about why you've become the woman that you are. So can you just lightly touch on that?
Well, first let me say, too, like with Cosmos, we're also a makeover program, which for me, because I have been in the situation that some women have unfortunately been in, I feel that, you know, women need to feel good on the inside and the out. And so Cosmos has really kind of become a full circle thing. And
mm-hmm.
my reason for wanting to do that is I was in a marriage for almost 11 years with a very abusive man who ended up trying to kill me in front of my son. And it's just been a real roller coaster. You know, there were times when I was wondering why it was happening. I'm a very devout Christian, and I was asking God, you know, why is this happening in my life? Am I being punished? And I realized, you know, it's God's timing, not mine. And now with hindsight, I see that, you know, even though it was awful, there was a reason there and that I could make a difference and be able to reach out and instead of keep it a negative, make it a complete positive
mm-hmm.
rather than let it run me down and ruin me, because I think a lot of times when things happen like this to women, they're afraid to speak out. I know I was, and there was a point where I went, you know, probably a point where you can break or you can move forward. I sat in a closet for days and didn't, you know, crying, thinking, where was I going to go from here? And it was like an epiphany. I mean, it just came to me, you know, you can either make it a positive and move forward and help other women, or it will remain negative forever.
So you made that choice.
Yes.
Now, question for you. What recommendations do you have for people like us, women like us, that are in that situation? A really quick thing that they can do when they're in that situation?
Well, to remember that they're not alone and that anyone that tells them that will be easy is lying.
Very good.
I think, well, because I think when I was going through it, so many people would tell me, oh, well, why are you staying? It's the easiest thing in the world to leave. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if someone...
Why is
if
it
someone,
not?
Well, if someone had just told me, this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, I would have been more prepared. And
mm-hmm.
if I would have been able to remember that. And it was hard because I personally feel a lot of times women do not stay because they're not educated. They do not stay because they're weak. They stay because they're scared and they
mm-hmm.
feel alone, or they just don't know how to move forward yet. Everyone has their own breaking point, and I feel like for me, if I had just known that one fact, that it would be so hard but that it would all be okay in the end, it would have been easier for me.
Okay. What have you done now since you left and life changed? What have you done to promote your platform? Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Oh, my word. I don't know where to begin. I've been pretty much busy, solid for, geez, Maria's even knows about most of it, but probably
okay,
the last 5 years.
Okay, why don't we talk about your trip to Greece?
That's what I was just going to say.
Let's just end it with that one.
Kind of started to... about 5 years ago, but it culminated in my trip to Greece, like Maria was saying. And actually, Maria and I had the opportunity to go together, which was really wonderful. I was ending my reign as Ms. World and just didn't want it to be something that was just about beauty, you know. So we went there to raise the volume for domestic violence victims. And while we were there, we were able to institute bringing into the area Angela Shelton's documentary. While we were there, we really just were able to talk to people about how it would help women not feel alone and start the translation into Greek, which it was amazing to be a part of. We were interviewed on shows as Face of Survivors. We were able to meet women in shelters and show them that, you know, women everywhere can go through this and that they care. And we did photo shoots and, you know, all kinds of really exciting things that ended up benefiting victims. Like we had some clothes that were donated to the shelter, and it was absolutely the most life-changing experience. It was wonderful.
Do you have any questions, Michael?
Oh, I have lots of questions, but they're kind of, I think most of them
you.
Are questions for they're questions for everybody. You know, it's hard for me to not ask questions. You know, I think a big question for me, Anastasia, is for people who are seeing the situation go on. For example, if you for friends, for relatives. They see a situation of abuse going on in whatever form it is, with a friend, with a family member. What recommendations do you have for those people who are kind of looking on the outside going, how do I help? I mean, what do I do? There's so many things you can and cannot do, you know, for a victim, and I'd welcome your input on that.
Well, I think just in kind of seeing, it can seem like a helpless situation for someone on the outside. I know my family tried tough love. That didn't work real well. But I think everybody's situation is so different that I think to a person on the outside, what I would say is remain strong and remember to be there for that person, whether you agree with their decisions or not, so that they never feel alone.
Well, yeah. Well said. And with that, Anastasia, I'm going to put you as well on hold, and we're going to bring you back in just a little bit. But I want to get before we get too far along into our bring on our next guest, and that is Dr. Elena Bugardi. And Bugardi, I know she's going to correct me when she gets on and tells me, but she's a clinical psychologist licensed in the state of California and in Greece. And she's in private practice, also in Los Angeles. She practices individual and group psychotherapy and life coaching. She mainly treats adults, adolescents, and couples, and she works with her clients on recognizing their strengths and vulnerabilities, thus developing awareness, promoting self-acceptance, improving self-esteem, and creating choice and facilitating change. And for anybody who listens to the show, they know that I love to talk about choice and change. So, Elena, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning.
It's nice to have you here.
Thank you, Maria. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
And Elena, did I butcher your name too bad?
That's perfectly fine, Michael. I'm used to it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Oh, I hate doing that. It's one of those things that always drives me a little crazy. I try to get it right the first time, but sometimes what I want to say does not come out of my mouth. So I apologize for that.
That's perfectly fine.
So Maria, I will. I'll encourage you to start.
Thank you. I want you to. Kind of just share a little bit of background. I know that Michael introduced you, but share a little bit of your background with us here,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that everybody in Greece is listening as well.
Well, I'm Greek, and I moved out here in 2002 to pursue my PhD. So I was already a licensed therapist in Greece, but I felt I needed more at the time, and I needed to expand my horizons and just get a different flavor. So I came out here, and I started doing my PhD in September of 2002. And in September of 2004, I was asked to participate in my first internship. It's actually called a practicum. And at that time, I joined the Genesee Domestic Violence Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I was called upon to do individual therapy and group therapy. And it was my first experience with the world of domestic violence. And it was so striking and at times really sad for me to listen to the stories of those women and then to try to jump into their stories with them and try to help them.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned early on was that the best way to help is actually not jumping in, but being able to stay outside and look at the situation objectively, offer as much support as you can, but also teach them how to think about this, how to stop viewing themselves as a victim, but rather empower them, help them see the strengths that they carry within and come to terms with whatever vulnerabilities they have without thinking that that's a weakness or a negative thing. Just acceptance, a lot of self-acceptance.
Which is really difficult because the voices that go on and the vision that we see of ourselves as quote-unquote victims, it's really
mm-hmm.
difficult to get past that. So in
mm-hmm.
your experience, how did you get them to go from the victim to the survivor to finally overcoming all of the trauma?
Right. Well, there are a couple of different aspects here. First of all, you're dealing with the cognitive, the mental aspect. You almost kind of have to walk them through mentally what they went through so that they can understand that what they went through is just not something that they brought on to themselves necessarily, but something that happens all around. So the first thing is to raise awareness. What I use in my therapy is what we call the empowerment or disempowerment, rather, triangle. So we talked about the positions of the victim, the position of the perpetrator, and the position of the hero. And we pretty much covered how any of these positions is pretty much problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It forces somebody to engage in a relationship where their main focus is not themselves, but how they can help somebody else. And I'm a therapist. I'm all for helping others. But there has to be a balance, and there has to be an ability to nurture oneself first and then nurture someone else. When that balance starts getting distorted, it becomes problematic. So the first aspect was just the cognitive component, information and awareness. And then
mm-hmm.
the second aspect was helping them heal their wounds emotionally, understanding why they made the choice that they made, why they stuck with it. And then the third component was recognizing the strengths within and start applying them, start changing their lives. I find that women were socialized into thinking we need to be nurturers, we need to take care of others, and therefore we have to put up with a lot of things. And we're frequently also socialized into thinking that we can change men with our love and with our nurturing. And that's not the case. People don't change unless they themselves want to change.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And the last, I think, aspect was helping them recognize that what they experienced was not because their partner loved them in a way that he couldn't control his feelings, but rather that it was a game of power, that it had nothing to do with love. Domestic
mm-hmm.
violence has nothing to do with love, and it has nothing to do with being too vulnerable to tolerate insecurity or jealousy. It has to do with one's own difficulty to be strong in the moment, and therefore they need to control someone else so they can feel stronger, if
yeah.
that makes any sense.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense. But I come from that world, so
right.
it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad that you've never really had to experience that, but that you had to find out about it in this way. But thank you so much for taking these women and nurturing them as a woman does and as a clinical psychologist
yeah.
does now.
If I may say, actually, I don't think I revealed this to you before, but I was once in a long-term relationship that ended up becoming not physically but very emotionally abusive.
Well,
so, and I want to bring this up especially to because of the point that Joanna made earlier. Education has nothing to do with love or relationships. We may be as educated as we please, but at the end of the day, when our heart suggests something, we women usually tend to listen to that. So I actually watched myself being in a relationship on and off for 7 years where I was being humiliated and put down. So it started off with a honeymoon phase where I became that person's universe, the center of their world. They made me feel really special. And then as time progressed and the more I was growing, I was in my PhD, I was doing my PhD at the time. So the more I was growing, the more threatened he started to feel by my presence. So it became a competitive thing where he needed to outdo me. He needed to make sure that he was smarter than me, more successful than me, a better man than me. And it ended up in highly emotionally abusive exchanges.
Well,
and that, in the process, it really disempowered me. So it came to a point where I almost lost track of who I was.
Yes.
When you revolve your life around a relationship and you put that in the center and you're trying to make it everything else work around that, you kind of lose sight of who you are, your own identity. So my process of healing for myself was just taking a really good look at myself, remembering where I came from. I always like to say, go back to your roots. That's usually a great beginning. And kind of look through my struggle in life, how I got here, how I got my scholarships. I myself come from humble beginnings, so things have not been handed to me. And I always had that mentality of the survivor, of the fighter. I've fought through everything in my life, so I'll fight through this relationship and I'll win.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. You can't win when the other person doesn't want to win with you.
No, that's very true. Let me ask you a question. Because
mm-hmm.
you said a point that I want to make very clear to the listeners out there. People
mm-hmm.
would tell me, well, I was in an abusive relationship, but it wasn't physical. And it wasn't bad because he didn't hurt me physically. And one of
mm-hmm.
the things that I've learned, and as a clinical psychologist out there talking to women, one of the things that
mm-hmm.
I learned is when I got a broken jaw, when I got a broken arm, when I got whatever, okay, there was proof. Okay, there was actual proof that there was something wrong. So I could digest that information a lot easier than the emotional, the mental, the verbal, because that's
mm-hmm.
just crazy making because there's no physical proof. So the physical harm was almost more acceptable to me because there was proof. But it's the emotional
mm-hmm.
and the mental and the verbal that's really destroying our lives out there. So when you say that it wasn't so bad because it wasn't physical, I really have to tell you that every physical scar is actually an emotional scar. So
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's what I wanted to touch base on there. So when you speak to women, tell me, when do you give them a checklist on what to do to get out of a situation when they are in a bad situation?
Well, there are two stages to this. If you're dealing with a woman who's still in the abusive relationship, you almost have to create a plan B. Do you have a separate set of keys? Do you have a separate set of all the paperwork you may need? ID, passport, anything, driver's license? Do you have a separate account or money hidden somewhere that he doesn't know about? One of the things that I found, especially with women that are in abusive marriages, not just a relationship, is that the men like to take financial control. And they will frequently isolate those women from their friends so that nobody can observe the deterioration happening. So
mm-hmm.
When someone is in actual crisis, the thing you need to do is help them set up a plan B. Where do I go? Where's the nearest shelter? How can I make myself be safe? Do I call the police? Do I get a restraining order? Who do I go to? All of these things. If the woman is no longer in that relationship, but she's just trying to recover from it, then you can move on to the other aspect of raising awareness, giving them information. There's emotional abuse, there's financial abuse, there's sexual abuse, even if it's not what we consider sexual assault or rape. There are so many subtle ways of abusing somebody sexually If I went into them, it would raise your hair. So just creating a lot of awareness, and it's interesting to see the light bulb go off as you go through the checklist with them, and they realize that all these things were there, but just like you said, because the physical aspect hadn't kicked in yet, they were not recognizing that they were actually being abused already.
Right. And especially if you come from a background where you are educated and you don't want to admit that it's happening. You just don't. Because you're smarter.
Precisely. But all research has actually shown that domestic violence is presenting with the same percentage pretty much across the board. Socioeconomic status has nothing to do with domestic violence.
Nope. Not with domestic violence, not with sexual assault. I get it. It's crazy. Michael, do you want to open up the panel and let the girls in?
I was just doing that. We're on the same page. But we've got about 12 minutes left in our interviews and panel discussion. And exactly that, I'd like to bring Joanna and Anastasia back in as well. And I have a quick question for all of you. And that is, you know, whether your trauma or tragedy is domestic abuse or it's the loss of a job or anything else that's going on in your life, so many of us have gone through various different things. But we need to find ways to overcome. And all three of you have experienced that ability to overcome. You've overcome something, you know, very dark in your life, and you've found a way to be successful in spite of it, or also a little bit because of it. It's given you so much knowledge and information to go forward. And so for our listeners who are going through a similar circumstance or have friends that are going through a similar circumstance, could you just give us a few words about what people can do to make that change and to get through it and really to not only be a survivor but to be a winner because of everything that's gone on in your life? And we'll start with Joanna, and we'll do Anastasia, and then Elena.
So real quick, Joanna.
Yeah, very quick. So sorry to get off topic earlier, but...
that's fine.
Okay. One statement, one word of, one term of endearment, one word of confidence, or excuse me, of my mother, what she told me while I was going through my separation and my divorce. One proverb, simple proverb, the sun shines for everybody. You're going to get over it. There'll be a brighter tomorrow. As long as you stay focused on what you want in life and pursue your dreams, you're going to get them. And through that, to this day, that is the one thing I tell everybody, is the sun shines for everybody. We're all put on the face of this earth to pursue the same thing. We all have the right to happiness. And nothing is going to stop me or any other woman from pursuing a life that she dreams for herself. Not the kind of dreams, the Cinderella stories that were fed through Walt Disney and all that. Practical dreams of making a life for herself, becoming independent, getting a career, being on her own two feet, moving to a different country, and finding the ways to get settled in that country legally. Not only from Canada to Greece, from Greece to the United States, it's possible. I did it. If I can do it, anybody can.
Bravo.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And if you believe in yourself, you're going to get that sparkle in your eye back. So that's basically it. And that's why I'm loving what I'm doing. And I want to put that voice out there, that there is life at the end of the tunnel. The sun does shine. For everyone.
Very good.
Awesome, Joanna. Anastasia?
Well, first and foremost, I feel that all of us are spiritual beings. So no matter about your higher power, the one thing that I feel that helps me, can help others get through it, is to remember that our higher power wants us to prosper and that trash is not created, that our timing is not our own, it's of our higher power. And then if we persevere and keep our faith in that, and stay strong even when times are hard, you will make it through.
Well said, well said. Elena?
Well, to Anastasia's point and Joanna's point, I think what needs to happen is to find a way to reduce, release the self-blame that a lot of women are experiencing, and start embracing all the strengths, internal and external, that they possess. So start embracing the resources that they have. If that is religion, if that is spirituality, if that is family, if that's friends, if that's their career, embrace those things and help allow them to work for them. And the other thing is release the self-resentment and the anger. There is something to be said about utilizing anger as a motivating force, especially in the beginning. But at some point, you really want to release the anger because it's going to start poisoning your soul. And just look at the strength and the beauty within. Embrace them and promote them. Accept yourself and continue to raise awareness so that you don't get back into similar relationships, which is one of the things that I've observed sometimes with some of my patients.
Maria.
Oh, I thought I lost everybody. Well, now that we're all together, I'm so excited that you all are here with me. And thank you for sharing this time with us. And what we've all gone through collectively, I'm in awe at, because I know the details of Anastasia's story and especially in Joanna and now Elena, that you're sharing with us about what you've gone through. And it's mm-hmm. so important, no matter what, if we're in this country or in another country, that women have the hope that they don't have to stay where they are and that we do have the vision and to move forward. So, ladies, what do you see us all doing collectively, especially because we love this country, Greece, and there's so many women out there that are still in a lot of pain. In fact, I got a call 5 minutes before we went on air from a police officer, a friend of mine, who gave me a crisis call. So there are people out there listening, and it's happening every day, and it's our reality. What are we going to do to change in our world collectively? Joanna, how can you see us doing something positive in Greece?
Educating people, raising awareness, letting people know that there is an issue out there, whether they care to realize it or not, in their own backyards. They need to be aware of their surroundings, the communities around them, and within themselves. They need to dig down deep down within their soul and realize that it's great to have that family tie, that bond that keeps us together, but it's also good to pursue what you really want in life. And
right.
put yourself first and put your health first, because without your health, you can't have anything. And when you're in an abusive relationship, that health will go down the drain, whether it's physical or emotional. It all contributes to our well-being,
mm-hmm.
And that added stress, we don't need that extra stress.
So true.
Because, you know, so number one, always take care of yourself and your health, because nobody else will.
True. And speaking of health, Anastasia, now that you're in the hospital bed, all the women that you're mentoring now, okay, both through the International Ambassador Program that we have started and through the pageant system now, what is your goal for spreading awareness and prevention using that platform?
Well, I have such a big goal on so many that it's kind of hard to put it all out there. But I think I'm starting by basically, Maria, putting you as an extension of my arm, my heart, and sending you out there as a representative of all of us when you go to Greece. Is something that I take great pride in. I'm very proud that you're out there doing what you're doing. And right now you're doing that for me. Thank you.
It's so, all about for you.
Yes, I mean, like, you're doing it for so many people and as my arm's extension, as a part of my dreams to help others. And I I just commend you on everything you're doing. And I feel that that's the biggest way that we're moving forward at the moment, since I'm a little bit stuck. But we do have so many goals to move forward and institute different programs, especially like your ambassador program with Four Beyond the Green, that I'm very active in and very excited about to move forward with.
And we also, just so I let you know, on my birthday, July 21st, we're launching our junior ambassador program, which Anastasia's little girl is involved with. And I'm really excited to tell you about that, Michael, but on another show. Real quick, let me go to Elena real quick. What can you give me as far as tools when I go to Greece that I can share with the women there?
And you've got 2 minutes. Elena.
Okay. I'll make this really short and quick. My recommendation, Maria, would be to not only address the women, but address the men as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Frequently, they themselves are not aware of what leads them to these behaviors. So as a therapist, of course, my job is to heal people. And so when you go to Greece, do exactly what you're doing right now. Talk on the radio. Go on TV. Talk to people. Help them understand what domestic violence is, how it starts, what the first signs are, so that it doesn't ever have to evolve into the more physical situation. But really open it up to both men and women. I had the opportunity to work really briefly with the perpetrators themselves during a part of my career, and they're very scared people.
Yes, I know.
Take their fear out by pretending to be really strong and powerful and angry.
Very good.
So my recommendation would be to address all of them.
Bravo. Michael?
I want to thank all three of you again for taking the time to be with us today. The hour, as always, flew by really quickly. And what I'd like you all to do really fast, if you can, is just share with our audience where people can find out more about you, if there's a website, an email address, et cetera. If you could give that to us really quick. Joanna?
Yes, hi. Well, I'm not doing anything in particular with this particular issue per se, but I am writing about the movers and the shakers here in the western part of the United States under a column that's called West Coast Beat. And that's found on www.neomagazine.com. That's spelled N-E-O. Magazine is magazine.com. And you're welcome.
Sorry to get through all of you really quick because we were almost out of time. And Anastasia?
Listeners can go to cosmospageants.com and be able to find out all about our mission and what we're doing with the system and the makeover program. We'd love to have anyone visit.
And real quick, I wanted to also real throw in there that Stimulation Skincare is now one of our international sponsors for Cosmos Pageants. So, woohoo! Okay, go ahead.
And there, really quickly, that information.
Quick commercial break.
Really quickly, that is also all the information about Stimulation as an international sponsor of Cosmos Pageants is on our website.
Good.
Elena.
They can either go ahead and Google my name, which will lead them to my website, or just put in drbaguridi.com, and they should be able to find me.
Bravo.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, all of you, for joining us. I really, really appreciate it. And we will be catching up with all of you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And, again, I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us again on Anything But Ordinary Radio. We have just a few seconds left, and I want to just encourage everyone to join us next week. We have actor Anthony Wamis will be with us, along with intuitive and business and success coach Elizabeth Harrington Smith will also be with us. Tamara Schilling, who is going to be with us as well, is not going to be able to join us. She will be with us in August at a different show. She will be camping in the Rockies, so I hope she has a lot of fun there. And finally, our last two shows of the month will be Extraordinary Men, What Makes Them Extraordinary, and Extraordinary Women. Those are our last two shows. If you have an idea for an extraordinary man or woman you would like to have on the show, please get a hold of us at www.blogtalkradio/anythingbutordinary, or also go to our website, www.anythingbutordinary.com. but ordinary.net. And Maria, we have 15 seconds left. Do you want to lead us out?
Well, this has been an interesting show because, wow, I don't like taking the lead, Michael. You continue to take the lead. That's your job. But I just wanted to say thank you to all the women. And, wow, we've all overcome and we continue to overcome every day. And that sometimes it's one breath at a time, not even just one step at a time. It's just one breath at a time. And breathing can be really difficult. So just stay focused on the goal, and the goal may just be one day at a time.
Awesome. Thank you, Maria. Everybody, go out there, be extraordinary. We will see you all again next week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, on Anything But Ordinary Radio.
Don't you dare.